welcome, everyone. It's a beautiful day to open the Word of God. I pray that the Lord would move today and speak through me despite my bad attitude. You know those days you wake up and you just got a bad attitude? That's me today. I got a bad attitude. And I know it. I know I do. I got a crick in my neck. I didn't sleep very well last night. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm cranky. But you know what? God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He knows I'm cranky. You need a Snickers bar. I need a Snickers bar, right? I gave my dad two Snickers bars this morning, and he ate them both. See, what? And that's it. That's another thing, right? I tell you that because I want to assure you of God's goodness. And even though I'm human and I have human emotions and I get cranky once every 25 years, yeah, it's a very rare occasion. So mark your calendars for this day, people. God will still work and God can still speak and move. And that's the beauty of serving this awesome, powerful God that doesn't need me to be in a good mood, right? He can use me despite me. And so this morning, that's my prayer, is that God would just speak to you through the Word of God. So last week, we started a series entitled Seasons. And in today's message, we're going to be looking at three important truths about the seasons of life. But first, I want to start with some brief, just introductory thoughts. There are so many lessons that we can learn from nature's seasons, right? Just what's happening, you know, in the world around us through nature. For example, when seasons change, oftentimes the changes are abrupt and they're accompanied by storms. If you've ever lived in Arizona or Hawaii or Florida, you know a lot about that, right? Any really, Texas. Especially coastal towns, but the desert is also known for storms when seasons change. And life is often like that. Storms often signal a change in season, and not necessarily a bad change, right? You might have kind of a storm in your life, like, you know, they say it happens in threes, or, you know, like three bad things will happen, or three good things will happen. And it's kind of like that's the storm before the calm or before the bigger storm, right? You know? And I think that's true in life. We see like a series of things happen in our life and then God does something big. Another example is in the area of pruning, right? We know that pruning often takes place just before the winter. And we see that we're often pruned just before a dry season in our life, right? So vintners and, well, really anybody who grows crops or trees and, you know, various kinds, there's a pruning process that happens just before winter. And if we apply that to our own lives, then we could say that we're cut and then left to convalesce during the winter season, during this dry season, a time of little to no fruit. And that may seem kind of cruel, right? God cuts us, he prunes us back, and then he just leaves us there in the bleakest part of our season, right? And in that time of little to no fruit, we have to deal with all the normal trials of life, and in particular of that winter season that we're in. And that's a whole lot of life summed up in that one illustration. John 15:2 says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I think people often think of being pruned as God cuts off the bad branches, and that's where they stop, right? Pruning is God's just cutting out all that bad stuff in my life. But if you notice, it says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that every branch that does bear fruit, right? So even the good things in your life, God will prune back, right? So that it can be even better for him. We feel the pain of the pruning shears, but the one doing the pruning sees the multiplied fruit. He knows that if he does this in our lives, then we'll bear even more fruit. So we need to take advantage of every season that we're in, whether you like that season or not. The song there's a, I'm missing, there we go. How many of you have ever heard the phrase carpe diem? Anybody ever hear that? A couple of you. What does it mean? Oh, that was very weak. What does it mean?
Seize the day,
right? That's what it means. The phrase carpe diem comes from the Latin poet Horace. And he lived and died just before Jesus was born. And Latin scholars point out that the translation of the word carpe comes from the verb that describes the picking of fruit. And the word carpe translates literally to pluck. Pluck the day. So the saying, carpe diem, literally translated is enjoy the day, pluck the day when it's ripe. I kind of like that. I think that's what this series is all about. Enjoying whatever season of life you're in, even if it's winter, even if it's the dark time. Looking for God in every season of life. Plucking the most out of every season while you're in that season. Some of you hate while you're in that season. You don't enjoy it at all. But then you can look back in retrospect and go, oh, yeah, that was God was doing some really cool stuff. And that, oh, that was fun. But while you're in it, you're like, I hate this, right? It's not coincidence that God has us doing this series as we come to the close of 2023. Do you realize we're coming to the close of this year? I know. Where does the time go?
1980, right?
We're coming to the close of 1 year. We're getting ready to enter into another year. And I think the best way to seize the day at the end of a year is to close the door on the past. And the best way to seize the day at the beginning of a new year is to start it with prayer for God's blessings in the year ahead, to open the door to what God has in store for us. The passage of scripture that we've been using for this series is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're using the first 8 verses, verses 1 through 8. And every Sunday throughout this series, we're going to share this scripture passage in a different way. Last week, I read it. This week, we have a little treat because one of my favorite groups has agreed to come to church today. They're a very popular band. They are Walk Off the Earth, and they've agreed to come to church today and sing this song for you, Turn, Turn, Turn. Anybody know that song? It's also known as To Everything There Is a Season, and it was written by Pete Seeger in 1959. Now, the lyrics, except for the title, Turn, 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 which is repeated throughout the song, and the final 2 lines consist of the first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, the song was originally released in 1962. How many of you were not born in 1962? You were born in 62. Okay. Yes, it was released as the title To Everything There Is a Season, and it was released by the folk group the Limelighters. Anybody remember that group? And then Pete Seeger released it later that year. But the song became an international hit in 1965 when who sang it? The Birds, yes. So we're going to have Walk Off the Earth. My friends, they're going to come up and sing this song for you. Come on up, guys. Gavin, you got to, there you go.
Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. Till everything turns, 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 there is a season. Turn, turn, turn. everything turn. There is a season turn.
They couldn't get away, so they sent that. Yeah. Canada's far, people, okay. No, they weren't in Canada. Well, actually, I don't know where they were there, but all right, so I shared with you earlier that in today's message we're gonna look at three important truths about seasons in our life. So here's the first important truth that we can consider. To enter a new season, we have to be stripped of the last one. Think about, anybody here like baseball? Raise your hand if you like baseball. Okay. So Gavin's gonna put a picture up there and you tell me what position he plays.
Catcher,
that's right. How do you know that he's the catcher? All the gear that he's got on, right? Yeah, he's got a chest plate, he's got these leg things, he's got things that cover his toes, he's got a special mitt, he's got the helmet, he's got all this gear on. Now, before the catcher can take his turn at bat, he has to take all of that gear off, right? You don't want him walking up to bat in his catcher's gear, right? You don't go to bat with the catcher's uniform on. Now, it's interesting that in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 3 and verse 5, we read of stripping away before we read of adding on. I want to pop those two verses up there. Look at those verses. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. Now, I think there's some significance in the way that the text is ordered. Think about it. A time to break down, take those things down, and then rebuild. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. I think there's some significance in the way that is put in there. Later, the text talks about receiving before letting go, and both are true. Sometimes in life, we have to subtract before adding, and sometimes we have to add before subtracting. But today, we're going to talk about that first example, a time to tear down before we build up. So let's stop and focus. Let's stop focusing on the past, because we tend to do that, right? We tend to just focus on the past, and we need to focus on the future. Now, we have a couple here, Nicole and Andrew. Here it is, guys. They're getting married. Woohoo! If you haven't met them, they're a lovely couple back there. They're getting married a year from now. Is it September or October?
October.
So a year. What date? 19. Oh, Jessica, where are you? That's your birthday. They're getting married on your birthday next year. So now Nicole and Andrew are getting married next year. And if their marriage is to thrive, both of them are going to have to let go of some of the ways that singles do things. Because if they're going to be married, then they are no longer single, right? So the way that singles do things, they're no longer going to be able to do. To enter a new season, we often have to be stripped of the last. You will no longer be single. You can say goodbye to that. A major reason for that is very simple. We can't safely drive forward while only looking in the rearview mirror. Now, I saw a lot of pictures on the internet of looking in the rearview mirror, and I chose this one because it shows the totality of where this man's focus is. Where is it? Behind him, the past. Believe me when I tell you, you will crash your present and hinder your future if your focus is too much on the past. When we drive a car, our attention has to be where we are now and where we're going to be in just a few seconds. To focus on where we've been for too long will cause us to crash and burn. In life, we need to glance backwards. Yes, that's why the rearview mirror is there. We glance backwards, but our focus should be forwards. Too many people let what happened yesterday mess up what happens today. Or what happened 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 30 years ago mess up what happens today. Some people carry the past around with them like this millstone around their necks, just weighing them down. And all it does for them is it weighs them down. It slows them down. It causes pain, and it prevents them from receiving all that God has for them right here and now. The past is like a file folder, a big, fat file folder. And in this file folder is every experience that you've ever had in life. And in each experience folder is what happened, all the thoughts and emotions that we have about what happened, what others have said about what happened, the spin the devil tries to put on what happened, what God says about what happened. And the file gets so full of thoughts and opinions on what happened that no one can really tell what actually really happened. Why let our imperfect memories drag us down today? Listen, we've all messed up in the past, but we shouldn't be focusing on that, right? Glance back, remember the pain of it, and move forward. Let's stop focusing on the past and give our full attention to what God has for us in the here and now. Now, the principle that we should be forward-facing, forward-looking, forward-moving is biblical. It's all throughout Scripture. I'm going to share just two scriptures with you. The first one is found in Isaiah chapter 43. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. If you want something this week to read, Isaiah 43 is a good one. I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And Philippians 3:13 says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Scripture tells us, press on, move forward. What happened, happened. We can't change it by feeling bad about it. In order to grasp what God has for us in this year that lies ahead, we have to let go of some things. We have to let go of our hurts and our failures. We have to let go of those things that have brought us down, those things that brings our focus away from God. In Japan, they have a custom. In the beginning of a new year, on the first day of the new year, they open their front door and they get a broom and they begin to symbolically sweep out all the bad that happened that year. They sweep it right out the front door, symbolically saying, good riddance. All the bad is gone. But they don't close the door yet because they leave it open for God's Spirit to come and bring them what he has in store for them for the new year. I like that. I think we all need to kind of symbolically do that this year, right? I really do need to sweep my house, so maybe I'll do that little exercise. Sweep out the bad, sweeping out the hurts, sweeping out the failures, our rejections, sweeping out every mistake that we made, sweeping out any ill will that we may have towards someone else. So our first important truth on the seasons of life is to enter a new season, we have to be stripped of the last one. Let it go, right? Let it go. The second important truth is we should never compare what season we're in right now to anybody else's season that they're in right now. Because we're all in different seasons, even though we're all in the same season right now, like in nature, we're all in different seasons of life. Comparing our current season with someone else's can kill contentment in our life. I want to share with you a picture. Gavin's going to put it up on the screen here. I don't know if you could see that. It's got one tree, and on the tree it has four different seasons there. And I like that. I think that tree is us, the church, right? We're all in different seasons of life, but we're all one body, one tree. The problem is, usually when we compare our season to someone else's season, we only see the things in their season that we like, right? In the winter, we're like, ooh, the snow is so pretty. In the spring, ooh, the flowers are so pretty. In the summer, ooh, the sunshine feels so good. In the fall, look at the leaves on the trees. But we forget that each and every one of those seasons has negative things too. Every season has good and bad, easy and difficult, beautiful and ugly, plenty and barren. Anybody remember what the 10th commandment is? It's a tough one. Thou shall not covet thy neighbor's wife and their tree. Their wife's tree, yes. Do not covet your neighbor's wife's tree. That's in the Sandy version of scripture.
Don't covet your husband's tree.
Now, another way of seeing that is don't compare your spouse to someone else's spouse because it will lead to adulterous thoughts. Don't compare your spouse with someone else's spouse. Don't be like, oh, my wife isn't as good as Mike's wife, right? Don't do that, because if you do that, then it could lead to covetous thoughts. The truth is, when we compare, we only compare part of the package. And believe me, everybody has issues. Everybody's got warts, right? Big fat ones. We all do.
I thought you said warrants.
Oh, warrants. We used to be that church where everybody here had a warrant. We were like a safe zone, you know? Come, all who have warrants.
Because you are.
Yeah. How many of you have ever gone driving around nice neighborhoods? You're like, ooh, let's go up on the hill and drive around and look at all the pretty houses. Yeah, Andre, you've been doing that? Yeah? Andre's like, oh yeah, I've done that. How many of you have ever picked up a magazine? You know, if you like computers, a computer magazine, fishing magazine, remodeling magazines, whatever kind of magazine you like. You pick that up and you read about this dream kitchen or a dream log cabin or a dream fishing pole. And you're like, oh man, I really want that. You decide, I'm going to remodel my kitchen. This magazine, I want that. And the reality is, if we were to build our dream kitchen today, next week we'd see someone else with a feature in their kitchen that we wish we would have put in our kitchen. It's the same way with the seasons of life. We'll always see someone in a different season than the one that we're in, and if we're not careful, it can lead to envy. Now, I don't know what season you're in right now, but I'm guessing you've probably scoped out people in different seasons than you're in, and you found yourself wishing you could be where they're at right now. Most of us wish we could do life like a buffet. Wouldn't that be nice? We would only take what we wanted. I'll take some of that season that Pastor Sam has because she is super cool. I'm going to take some of that season that my cousin George has because he's pretty cool too. All that serves to do is to make us get discontent with our own season. Let's look at the wattle cup caterpillar. This is one snazzy caterpillar. This is the caterpillar of all caterpillars, right? I mean, I should have blown it up even bigger because this guy is intricate. I mean, within those little blue-orange, I don't know what shape you would call that, there's like just perfect symmetry in each and every one of those. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, like 25, 30 antennae things hanging off his body.
You sure those are horns?
I'm telling you, I don't know what they are, but they're pretty cool. That's all I'm saying is that guy looks really cool to me. Which end is which? That's just it. You know you're cool when you can't tell your head from your butt. Now, right? Is she coming or going? I can't tell. But now, I suppose if you were a plain Jane caterpillar, you might not be happy with who you are if you're standing next to this guy, right? You might say, I really wish I was a wattle cup caterpillar because him's cool, right? I mean, surely the wattle cup caterpillar becomes this amazing, beautiful butterfly like this one. Let's look at it. And if it's not that one, it might be this one. And if it's not that one, probably this one. But let's see what the wattle cup caterpillar metamorphosizes into. There he is, a brown, hairy, plain moth. He is very fuzzy. He's very plain. All his color was in his caterpillar days. The point is that those with better yards than yours, a nicer tree, a nicer wife, nicer car, they may turn into hairy brown moss. Be content with your season. Comparison kills your contentment. Now, the reason it's so dangerous to compare your season with anyone else's season is because you can't pray your season away. You can't pray away being a child. Lord, I just don't like being a child. Make me a senior citizen. You can't pray away your teenage years. You can't pray away your senior citizen years. Or all that goes along with each and every season of that life. When we get caught up in comparing our season with those around us, we can easily become discontent with the season that we're in, and we can try and pray it away. I know that I've done that. Lord, get me out of this. Lord, can you please bring this to an end? We need to remember that God makes all things beautiful in His time. Now, each season has a reason, and there's a beauty about it. Discontentment may get us to try and force ourselves out of a season that we really need to be in. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the different seasons of life, and I'm not just talking about what age you are or what season outside it is, but the different seasons, like a season of mourning, a season of joy, a season of fear, of doubt. We're going to talk about some of those seasons and what we can look for in each of those seasons. Now, some seasons God won't make any easier because that's the purpose of the season. And He's not going to explain it either. Because we don't have the big enough understanding to grasp what He's saying, what the whole point of that is anyway. Which takes us to our third and final point for today. And that is that the future is clear to God, but fuzzy at best to us. I like to think of it like this picture. Gavin's going to put it up there. Right? It's the Eiffel Tower, in case you didn't know. One is very fuzzy, and we know it's the Eiffel Tower, right? We know it, but we can't make out the features of it. If we had to describe what the Eiffel Tower looks like to somebody with that as our only reference, it would be very difficult. Yeah, take your glasses off and it comes into focus. Now, we may have some details, and we may even be able to see in part what our future holds, but God knows our future crystal clear. So it's just best to trust the one who knows. We don't have a clear picture, but God does. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end." I like the Message translation of verse 11. Listen to it. True, God made everything beautiful in itself and in its time, but he's left us in the dark, so we can never know what God is up to, whether he's coming or going. Ecclesiastes 7:13 says, "Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked?" And Ecclesiastes 7:14, "When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future." Weather forecasting has taught us a lot about the complexities of life. Weather anywhere affects weather everywhere. On July 25th of 2013, the National Weather Service shifted its operational weather models onto a new supercomputer that is capable of 213 trillion calculations per second. Let me say that again, 213 trillion calculations per second. I mean, I can only do 210, so that's impressive. With all that processing power, they still can't tell you whether it's gonna rain tomorrow or not, okay? Human life is infinitely more complicated than weather patterns. And Ecclesiastes simply teaches us that even though we have an idea of what's going on, we're not capable of grasping the totality of it. But God can. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows what your future looks like. And let me tell you something, if there's somebody out there who knows what my future looks like and can guide and direct me, I'm going to cling to that one. You can ask why if you want to. You can ask God, why don't I have the answers? Why don't I know where my life is going? But the truth is, many answers are beyond 213 trillion calculations per second, and only God has that kind of omniscient power to really understand. We have to become like little children more often than we like to, right? And we have to admit that we need our Heavenly Father. But since we know we have a kind of kind and loving Father, we can simply take his hand and allow him to lead us where we need to go. I think children can never fully understand how much a parent loves them, or loves a child until they have their own, right? You can't fully understand how much your mother loves you until you have your own child. With that thought in mind, I remind you that when your Heavenly Father is leading you into an unpleasant or difficult season of life, try to remember that he loves you more than you could ever possibly imagine, and trust him. When he doesn't move the mountains, trust him. When he doesn't part the seas, trust him. With that being said, let's remember today's three important truths about life and the seasons that we go through. First, when we enter a new season, we have to be stripped of the last one. Let it go. You know, after we came back here from being away with the pandemic. Before we did the whole quarantine thing and we had to stop having church services, we had two services a weekend. We had a Saturday service and a Sunday service. Saturday night, we had probably about 60. Sunday morning, we had about 112, 115, around there. And then we came back from the pandemic, and we had about 12 people in church. And then for a long time, it was about 25 to 30. And I really struggled with that. I kept looking back and saying, you know, the glory days. Remember when we had all these people? Remember? And I could not move forward with what God had for this church until I stopped looking in the rearview mirror. And when I stopped looking in the rearview mirror, then guess what happened? The church started growing. Because I was focused on what God had for us in the here and now. What does God have for us now? The past is the past. It's gone. But you know what? He has brought so many new, wonderful, beautiful family members into our little family here. Amen. Because we have looked at what he has for us right now. Amen? Amen. Second, we should never compare our season to anyone else's season because comparison kills our contentment. And finally, the truth is clear to God and fuzzy to us. Even when we can't understand what God is doing, we can still hold his hand and trust that he knows what he's doing. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to embrace tomorrow. And I got a few things on my list that I want to sweep out the door this year. And I want to leave that door open for whatever season God has for me in the future. May the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you. Love one another. Be good. And go get your kids, because I don't want to take